When sermons and services are consistently well planned, parishioners should be able, every now and then, to experience an aha moment. We welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and that's our key sentence for today. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, if I use the term aha moment, would you know what I'm talking about?
I think I would. You can tell me whether I'm on or not, but it means that something special just happened. Beyond the ordinary, it was incredible. If you're talking like in theater, you say, it just knocked my socks off. That was a great, great production. In sports, that's something you don't see very often. You know, and if you're listening to a ball game and the announcer says that and you're driving, you think, boy, I wish I had been there. I'd like to have seen that go on. Either the guy pitched a no-hitter or in Chicago, where we are, the Blackhawks won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 6 years. That doesn't happen that often, you know, and so the whole city is just, it's up in arms, and this is a big deal to them. In basketball, if somebody gets like a 50, 60 point game, you don't see that very often. It just doesn't happen. One of them, I remember the miracle hockey team when the U.S. beat Russia in the next to the last game and then went on to capture the goal. That was an aha moment. Oh, man, alive. It gives you the goosebumps. You know, that's the kind of thing. Okay, where are you going now? Tell me.
Well, I'm wondering how often you experience aha moments in church.
Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? I don't know that the church is going to be... Well, I've had aha moments. I think probably within the last 2 months, I remember the sermon was preached, and as an illustration to the sermon, about, oh, I would say a little past halfway through the sermon, the pastor said, rather than me tell the story, I want so-and-so to tell it. And it was a young woman who came to the front, and she had written it all out, and she basically, you know, I saw her get her paper and put it on the podium, and I thought, well, this is going to be a tough one, you know. And she read what was probably 3 pages a copy. I tell you, there wasn't a person in that congregation who wasn't crying. She told about her husband dying, and about her not being a believer, and how someone from the church reached out to her and saw her in her moment of need, brought her to the church. That was a whole new world to her, had never heard things like this before in her whole life, and told how she came to Jesus, and basically then repeated to say, these are the things I'm grateful to in terms of the church. And when she was all done, the pastor didn't have to finish his sermon. It was just a wonderful aha moment. And you thought, I'm so glad I'm a part of that, and I'm glad I wasn't somebody who messed it all up for her. But she found out that I criticized somebody or whatever, you know. So that was a great aha moment, because we're talking to pastors for the most part. I remember I was a part of a black congregation for about 6 years, and I remember one sermon that a lay sports writer came in and preached, and I said to my wife, I was sitting next to her, I'm levitating. I don't think I'm even touching anywhere. This is so incredible. I mean, he started out and took off in high gear like a plane that just went vroom, and the longer he went, the better it got. What he said, you know, it just absolutely just gave me the goosebumps. And that's a sermon I will never forget. I think it's the best sermon I ever heard in my whole life. He probably preached it 50 times before, because as a sports writer, everyone, and it was his sugar stick. But boy, it was really worth being. I was very glad I was there that morning. I think as I look back, because, you know, I'm getting older now, some of those aha moments were attending Billy Graham rallies. And Billy would preach, and I would think, you know, that was good, but it wasn't necessarily phenomenal. And then he would say, I'm asking you to get up from where you are, and I want you to come down here. And then you'd see these people start to come. Literally gave you the goosebumps. All these people, you couldn't imagine how many of them were coming forward, and many of them to meet Jesus for the first time. And you realize that people had brought friends, and you realize that the Holy Spirit was working in a message that they had never heard anything like that before. And you realize that Billy Graham, in the wisdom of his team, had all these counselors who were prepared to deal with the people. How many of those conversion stuck, who knows? It didn't matter. At that point in time, it was just an amazing thing, and it was like all is right with the world. Praise the Lord for Billy Graham and his gifts, you know. So those are times that come back to me. I remember when I was doing, there was a while, we did a 50-day adventure connected with Promise Keepers. You remember Promise Keepers? Mm-hmm. And so it was my privilege to travel with Terry and Barbie Franklin, who are singers from Nashville. We did a lot of pastors' conferences where we were showing the pastors what the 50-day adventure was like. They did a song package stage, and there was a song about Calvary. The first time they did it, I began to realize that there were tears all around me with all those pastors. They were singing about coming to Calvary and bringing your burdens to Calvary. And because we did probably, I'm guessing 15 of those pastors' conferences with them, they repeated it. Every time they sang that song, it was just a short while, and there were tears just everywhere. And I thought, wow-wee, this is really interesting to me. This song about Calvary is really touching these people. I don't know why it didn't touch me. It's probably because I was going to get up after them and I was concentrating on what I needed to say and all that. But it just got to the place where I almost came to the place, something's happening here that I don't understand. But emotionally, these people are being touched in a way that is absolutely unbelievable. And it just repeated itself. It's the only time I've been in a situation where it happened just every time like that. So yeah, there are those aha moments. If they were commonplace, they wouldn't be aha moments, would they?
Well, I suppose not. These are all illustrations involving human participation. Does God ever just move into a service and reveal things himself supernaturally?
I think that's probably true. How do you tell the difference is a big question. I'm not always sure I can. I remember in Scripture reading about the dedication of the temple and the cloud came and filled the temple so that the priest couldn't even minister because of the cloud. So that's probably a time like that where people couldn't say, I wonder if that was some special effect they worked there, or that was God. It was God. When Elijah prayed, that simple prayer, you know, come and show yourself to your people, and then the fire fell from heaven, that would have been one of those times that God in a supernatural way came down. I think probably in Jesus' ministry, he was a powerful speaker, and the scriptures say that people were amazed because he spoke as with authority, unlike their scribes. But there were also times when he spoke following a miracle, and I think miracles are aha moments, and Jesus regularly did miracles to let them know that he was someone special and that God's hand was upon him and that he was unique. So those were aha moments. I can't illustrate something that's not in scripture right at the moment in my mind where you could say, yeah, that had to be of the Lord.
I was thinking of the story that you've told several times in the past of when Charles Finney was preaching, a great evangelist of the middle part of the 1800s, and he would preach these long sermons, sometimes 90 minutes. And the Holy Spirit was moving in such a way that people would actually be holding on to the supports for the building, the columns that held up the building, to restrain themselves because they were being compelled to go forward. The invitation hadn't been given.
Yeah.
Finney was just preaching, and Finney was not a dynamic kind of speaker in the sense that he had this enormous charisma and all of the kinds of things we think about a compelling speaker. He spoke rather simply in what he had to say, but it was so supercharged by the Holy Spirit that people fell under conviction.
I've read a lot of those, yeah, and that's a good illustration. I appreciate that. Would that we saw more of that. That would really be neat. Yeah.
Would I be out of place to say that I wish there were more aha moments in the church?
You can say whatever you want, and I would say amen. If you want an amen on it, I would say that. You know, I am thinking back. I go to a Thursday night group of ex-offenders. The meeting starts with a meal, and then you sit around the tables and talk with one another. But then the best part of the evening comes, and those are testimonies. And they're people from prison, so they're tough people. But they tell how God has changed their lives. And I would say that comes as close to an aha moment as I can think of. And I would say, you know, of all the times I've gone, there have been at least five nights when we have one of those aha moments and a person is telling of Jesus' work in prison, in their life. You're overwhelmed by what is going on. I think, again, testimony is one of those times when they're done because they're coming out of real life and a situation that is not godly, and then God shows up. Those have been very moving to me, even to the degree where a person will say, I was told I had 10 minutes and I know I've gone over time. And then you instantly get from the congregation, it's not a congregation, but from the people who are there, usually there are about 100, 150 people there. They'll say, no, keep talking. Don't worry about the time. Just keep talking. The story, one after another, of tough, tough people who are overwhelmed by the beauty of the love of Jesus. They're great. They just, you go away and you just say, praise the Lord, I was glad to be here. I think, as you use the word revival, that revival oftentimes comes through testimony as much as it does through preaching. And those testimonies, there are wonderful, wonderful stories within the church. And we need to open the church to more time and more just letting My wife, when you see a good film, she said, I'm glad they let the story tell itself. They didn't try to tell you, this is the story, here's what the story means. They just let the power of the story tell itself. And I think that's what's happening in those meetings with those people who are in prison. They just tell the story and let it tell itself. It's obvious that God's at work, and there are aha moments. And you go away and you just say, man, I was busy, and it was a difficult thing to go to a Thursday night meeting again, because I've been in a lot of meetings. But I am so glad I was there. That was really, really neat.
One of the interesting points of your experience with this group of former offenders is the fact that so many people hear of prison conversions and think of them as just another con that the prisoners are going through to try to control their environment. But here are these men and women who've been released from prison. They're out of prison now.
Yes.
And they're giving glory to God because what happened to them when God met them in prison absolutely transformed their lives.
Yeah, they're different people. Yeah.
It's not some act that they're putting on because they're still in prison. It's a reality that's taken place.
Yeah.
Do you suppose that a chaotic worship service or one that's not well planned could inhibit aha moments because of the confusion that's caused in such a service?
I think that somehow God needs to move into whatever the situation is. So I don't care how God does it. If he moves into chaos or moves into well-ordered service, sometimes it's easier to get into the chaos than it is into the well-ordered service. I'm much more prone to say you have 3 minutes to say what you want to say when I think I need to say, don't worry about it. You know, I'll adjust. Just tell what God's done. What about you?
Well, I was reacting to our sentence that says when sermons and services are consistently well planned, parishioners should be able every now and then to experience an aha moment.
I think an aha moment could come out of well planned services as well. I could give illustration of that. Maybe we'll talk about it another time. One way or the other, I just want God to show his hand. You know, that's one of the big problems in church is that there's a lot of the human, but we don't see enough of what God is doing. And somehow we need to be able to say, okay, God, step into our efforts and show your hand. That's what we want to have happen. Aha, that was God.
When sermons and services are consistently well planned, parishioners should be able every now and then to experience an aha moment. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. We exist to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We've provided a great number of resources on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. And we invite you to visit our website and use our resources. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.